are looking at Ephesians. Looking at Ephesians, and I would share something with you as I read through the passage. The Lord laid something on my heart, which I have never seen. And I would tell you exactly what it is at the end of the sermon. And I believe that my life, your life, will be changed and transformed when we stick to the Lord and we listen to his voice as he speaks to us. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And let me tell you, this verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. So the point is this: we fight from victory, not for victory. We all know that victory has already. Question is, we're fighting. The Apostle Paul closes his letter to the Ephesians. He issues a powerful threefold exhortation. It's to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. To stand against the schemes of the devil. And to pray with perseverance. To pray with perseverance. Think of a trained soldier on leave. He may be dressed in ordinary clothes, living everyday life, but his identity, he is still a soldier. The same way many believers live spiritually off duty, forgetting that our identity remains constant, even when we are not conscious of the battle. Ignoring spiritual warfare does not make it disappear. probably leaves us unprepared. Spiritual warfare is widely discussed. Many sincere believers still fall victim to Satan's strategies. Not because they lack passion, but because they lack awareness and understanding. I was asking myself, when I became a Christian and I read this passage, and I said, so where is my armor? How do I put on, where is it? Where, I'm being honest with you, I was asking myself this question, where is the armor of God? I need it on my life, but where is it? So how do we put on the armor of God? I don't know whether you are in the same situation, but Scripture is clear, whether we recognize it or not, every Christian is engaged in a real conflict between opposing kingdoms. It's either the kingdom of God or the works and the plans and the works of the evil one. We have to make a choice. History shows us that those who least aware of the battle are often the first to fall. Thankfully, God has not left us defenseless. In Ephesians 6, Paul provides a divine strategy for spiritual self-defense. More than that, he points us to Christ himself as our armor. Jesus is our truth, our right, our peace, our faith, our salvation, living word of God. Put on Christ, we are clothed, one whom Satan has never defeated. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Chapter 3, verse 27 says, Paul urges, he says, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This leads us to critical question. How do we fight from victory rather than for victory? The answer is this. Standing firm in who we already are in Christ. Spiritual maturity is not crisis based. It is built through daily readiness. Paul commands us to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Partial armor exposes us. Daily armor prepares us. So before we examine each piece, let's ask ourselves this question. Am I spiritually dressed each day? Only when trouble shows up. And ask ourselves another question. Why sincere believers still live defeated? Our armor of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. First of all, the armor addresses the armor of God. Let us understand that. It says the armor of God, which means that it is not of any human instrumentation or all of this armor is to be used and not just some. We can't pick and choose. If we want to fight from victory, not for victory, we have to put on the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, Ephesians 6:14. The belt was the foundation of the soldier's armor. Without it, everything else shifted, loosened and failed. A soldier with a loose belt might still be armed, but he would not be effective. Even strong armor becomes liability without truth, holding it together. Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. Lies are his primary weapon. Truth is his greatest threat. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To wear the belt of truth is to align your life and my life with Christ himself. Victory begins with truth. Truth about God. Truth about ourselves. And truth about the enemy. Am I grounding my decisions on scripture? Or in feelings, culture, and convenience? Is there a truth? I know, but I'm wrestling, living out. Can I assure you this morning, Jesus is ready to turn things around in our lives, if only we allow him. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the heart, lungs, and vital organs. Most fatal blows targeted the chest. Spiritually, righteousness guards the heart. Satan often attacks believers through temptation alone, but through condemnation. His voice says, "Not good enough. You have failed many times. Do you think he loves you?" God never loves you. This is attacks. Defense is not our performance, but Christ's righteousness. Not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith, Christ. If you live from guilt and shame, your heart remains exposed. But when you live from Christ's righteousness, accusations lose their power. Am I living from my own identity, or am I living through Christ's identity? It's my past mistakes hunting me down. Speak the name of Jesus. He will turn things around. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers were reinforced sandals with stud, giving them tract during combat. Losing footing in battle can often mean losing the fight. In the same way, peace with God keeps us steady when life becomes unstable. When accusation, conflicts, anxiety rises, peace prevents panic. Jesus said, "Peace, be still." Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. So when pressure comes, do I respond with fear or with peace? Am I trusting God's promises, or rehearsing worst case outcomes. Brethren, Jesus is more than able to turn our lives around. Now, the shield of faith, Paul described flaming arrows designed not only to wound, but to spread fear and chaos. Does not pretend arrows don't exist. Faith extinguishes them. The danger is not the thought that comes. It is the thought we keep within us. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5. This is the victory that has come, overcome the world, our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So, what lies have I been entertaining instead of rejecting? Am I trusting God? Am I trusting God's character more than any circumstances that comes my way? Now, let's look at the helmet of salvation. The soldier could survive injuries to the head or feet, but a blow to the head without protection was fatal. The mind is a primary battlefield in spiritual warfare. Doubt, fear, and discouragement often attack assurance. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John chapter 10, verse 28. So assurance of salvation is for the believer. A guarded mind produces a resilient faith. So the question is this. When life gets difficult, do I doubt God hold on me or trust his promises? What voices am I allowing to shape my thinking? Now the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The sword is the only offensive weapon. A sword unused becomes dull. A sword never practiced with becomes unfamiliar. Scripture must be known and spoken. When Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes. Brethren, we need to memorize God's word. So when difficulty comes, we will be able to stand and defend ourselves. The word of God does not need defending. It needs deploying. So do I know scripture well enough to confront spiritual attacks? Am I feeding my spirit regularly with God's word? Let's take a moment to pause, not to rush, not to move quickly, because the word of God always calls for response. Spiritual warfare is not a theory. It is personal. It is real. It is happening. And how we respond today matters. How we respond today matters. Those who need to put Christ first for the first. Have I given my life to Christ? Have I confessed Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior? Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I would come in and dine with him. So as Jesus is knocking, are you opening the door for him to come in? The truth is this, the armor only fits those who belong to Christ. Victory is not found in efforts. It is found in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, don't let today pass by. Give your life to him. He is the good shepherd. He loves each and every one of us. He came and died on the cross for you and I. And as I said from the beginning, he stands at the door knocking. If you open, he will come in. He won't force himself on you. If this is you, if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, respond. Respond. For God is calling. He is calling. Now, believers who have been fighting on armed or worn down, Christ is calling. Christ is calling. You have been saved, but you have been living exposed. You have allowed truth to loosen. You have laid down the shield of faith. You have stopped, memorizing the word of God. And the enemy has taken advantage of that weakness. Today, Jesus said, come. Come. Come for refresh. Come. And the Holy Spirit would fill you. Hear this clearly. This is not condemnation. It is invitation from God. God is not calling you to try harder. He's calling you to stand again in Christ's strength. In his strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. So as Christ is calling, are you going to respond? Those who need to take their stand. Not to retreat. Not to panic. Not to give up. But to stand firm in truth. Secure in your salvation. Confident in victory. You may be in a fight right now. At home, at work, in your mind, in your heart, Jesus knows. So he's calling you this morning. And the Lord is reminding you today, you are not fighting alone. And the outcome is not in question. He's inviting us to respond. Let me share with you what I said from the beginning. To recap. Suppose you were in a war-torn country and you had to cross a field full of landmines. If a local soldier knew exactly where every one of them was buried and offered to take you through the field, would you protest and say, I don't need your help, or I don't want you to tell me what to do? I want to be free to make my own choices. I don't know about you, but I will stay close to that person as much as I could. I certainly would not wander off. His direction to me would not restrict me. They would preserve life. And as we walk together, he would say, don't go that way. Because that path will kill you. Go this way and you will live. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So with Paul, spiritual warfare, we come back to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor. And then in verse 18, and this is what the Lord shared to me when I was reading and preparing. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Note what Paul is saying here. Paul uses a participle, praying, the word praying, to indicate means by which the armor of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the living word of God may be put on. I've been thinking, how do I put my armor on? You can put your armor on through prayer. Every day. Every day. Prayer is the key. Brethren, if you don't pray, that means you said you don't need the armor for the day. So see how Paul himself prays for others to abound in eternal treasures. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11 says, and this pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And look at the other prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner being. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width and the length and the depth of height. Love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the final one is Colossians chapter 1 from 9 to 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in their light. The Lord. So the invitation goes on. victory already won. The armor of God is not preparation for a battle with an uncertain outcome. It equips us to stand in the victory already secured. So Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We do not fight hoping to win. We stand enforcing Christ's finished work. So beloved, as we go this place, may we do so quietly, confidently, knowing that we are clothed in Christ, strengthened by his Spirit, secure in his victory. Let's remember this. You are not unarmed. You are not abandoned. You are not fighting alone. Stand firm in Christ. Walk in his peace. Live from his victory. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Prayer. The more we pray, the more we are protected. The more the arm of God protects. I have a responsive prayer that we pray together, and then we will spend some time praying for God to move in our lives, for God to empower us, for God to strengthen us, for God to fill us with the Spirit. So let's pray this responsive prayers. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word and for the clarity it brings to our lives. And then you respond with a red one. We acknowledge that we are engaged in a real spiritual conflict. Forgive us where we have relied on our own strength. Restore us where we have grown weary or careless. Root us again in your truth. Clothe us afresh in Christ's righteousness. Cover us with the righteousness of the Spirit. Establish us in the peace that comes from the gospel. That Christ rule in our hearts. Strengthen our faith. Guard our minds with the assurance of salvation. Keep our hearts. Help us, Lord, to stand firm, not anxious, not striving, not fearful. May we always remember that we fight not for victory. We commit ourselves again to live for the victory. Amen.